With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios in New York on a bench on CBS Sports Radio. I'm Pharrell with Mavi and Carver. Hi, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Now's the best time to sign up for PharrellOnTheBench.com. The tournament is in all its glory tomorrow, Thursday, all day, starting at noon, and then Friday, same thing, all day, all night, both days. Get all of my plays, money line spreads, everything for the tournament, Thursday, Friday, you name it. It's all there, PharrellOnTheBench.com. You get every pick, every play, every day, everything that's on the board, NBA, NHL, boxing, MMA, all the best picks. The best price, PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. Bottom line is this. The sports betting podcast, Pharrell on the Bets. Another episode tomorrow. Episode 177 comes out on iTunes and Google Play, WestwoodOnePodcast.com tomorrow morning. Subscribe free. Follow on Twitter at OnTheBetsWWL. You can also follow Carver High's hockey show, Aisle Seat Podcast, at Aisle Seat Podcast. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-2124. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right. Let's go to that southwest Texas town of El Paso. Yeah. Rob is on the bench.
Hey, what's going on, Scotty? Could I get a Budweiser, please?
Cold Budweiser. There you go.
Hey, man, I just wanted to say thanks for the Pharrell on the Bets. That's been a lot of help, especially with the small college basketball. It's really useful.
Oh, thanks, dude. I'm glad you dig the show, and tell your friends about it.
Oh, yeah, I do. They don't believe me that that someone's betting on Hofstra, but someone is, so.
Yeah, and I hit that, and I did hit that bet.
Yeah. No, the reason I called is I wanted to give I haven't heard your show recently, but I wanted to give your take or get your take on New Mexico State Auburn, because I have a really good feeling New Mexico State's going to beat them. This is their third straight trip. Their coach is 58-10, and they run about 12 deep and run a 19-game winning streak.
Listen, I don't deny they're a good team. I like the Aggies. I have a little, you know, bit of a problem with their schedule, who they play, blah, blah, blah. They've been there, I think, you know, they keep going to the tournament, and every time they've been a 12 or whatever or higher, they lose. So they have not had any luck in the NCAA tournament, and I think, you know, they are on a hot streak and everything else against a bunch of nobodies. I think that they're playing a good team in Auburn that can, you know, beat Tennessee in a conference championship game, you know what I mean? So they're very talented and well-coached. Auburn, you're going to have to beat Bruce Pearl. I think his team's very, you know, talented and physical, big, blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, New Mexico State's had a great season. I think it'll be a great game. I want to look at the very least, that game. I took the Auburn to win, but I took New Mexico State in the 6.5. So I do believe in them. I think they'll be in the game, and I think it'll be a close game, so I middled it. There you go. 855-2124 CBS. Jason in Niagara Falls.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I love that you talk hockey. Not too many people do here. I just want your thoughts. A team like Tampa Bay has been kind of coasting for the last few months, and you've seen it before, like teams like the Sharks and that have taken them a few times to get through. I know Tampa Bay is really good, but a team like Pittsburgh fighting to get the playoffs have been playing serious hockey for like the last month. Can you see an upset that way, or – or like a team like Calgary going down and being number one seed out west? I don't know. I could see a team like Pittsburgh doing an upset, but Tampa Bay is pretty strong.
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh's hanging on by the skin of their teeth just to make it. And I think they've been, you know, falling on their face lately. The last, you know, let's say 7 to 10 days has been disastrous. And they've dropped three in a row real quickly. And then they play in Nashville tomorrow night. I think they're going to lose that game, too, to be honest with you. And, I do not believe the Penguins could beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I also don't believe that the Flames at this point, I have to see who they're playing. Carver, who would they play at this point?
Right now, today, the Flames would play the Coyotes in the first round.
Yeah, well, I'd take the Flames.
Yes, I would too.
In that series, I'd too.
When it comes down to the Lightning, honestly, legitimately, I think there's only two teams that really can beat the Lightning in a best-of-seven series. That's the team that they played tonight, the Washington Capitals, and the Boston Bruins. Those two teams can beat the Lightning.
So, let me get this right. So, Washington would play Columbus, is that right?
Right now, Washington would play Carolina. Tampa would play Columbus.
Washington would play Carolina, and Tampa would play Columbus. Is that right?
Right now, yes.
So the top in each division plays the one and the two.
Yes, and Lightning have the better record, so they play the second wild card.
Okay, so Lightning play Columbus, and Carolina would play Washington. And then you're telling me the Islanders would meet the Penguins and the Bruins would meet the Leafs?
Correct.
There you go. And then, let me get this straight. Winnipeg would play Arizona.
No, Calgary.
Oh, Calgary, because they got more points.
Right, Dallas would play Winnipeg.
Dallas would play Winnipeg. And then Nashville would play St. Louis, and San Jose plays Vegas.
Right.
Yeah. All right. But that's still to be determined because there's too many games.
There's still way too many. Some teams between have 8 and 10 games left. A lot more jockeying to be done. Between now and the finish line. The only thing you can pretty much put in stone right now is right. That the Lightning are obviously going to be the one in the East in that Atlantic,
right.
And that the Bruins are going to play the Maple Leafs. That matchup is pretty much set.
I had some stories today since this guy got me going on it, right? The Red Wings are keeping Jimmy Howard for another season, his 14th season, right? Dan Girardi, is that right, from the Lightning? He's out indefinitely.
Yes.
He's injured. Filippula's out from the Islanders, 4 weeks. Eberle's day-to-day. What are their injuries?
Filippula got hurt in the game last night. Not sure what it is. Upper body, of course. Eberle was shocking. He played last night. He didn't come out of the game. And then at practice this morning, he did not skate. So Isles have a lot of injuries right now.
How do you feel about Ron Burgundy doing the play-by-play for the Kings game
Well,
tomorrow?
I guess when you have absolutely nothing left to play for this year and nobody's watching your games, you might as well throw a gimmick up there to get somebody in there.
Is that like a zany radio bit?
I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, they're the worst team in the Western Conference right now. They've had a horrible year. Might as well go for the laughs, you know, with a couple of weeks left.
Bring in Ron Burgundy.
Sure.
So he's going to be calling the game.
I'm sure that the guys in the booth are thrilled about it.
What is the deal with this 2019 NHL draft lottery? So all the teams that don't make the playoffs are in it, right?
Correct.
And the big prize is
Jack Hughes.
Jack Hughes.
Which, you know, this year would have been Ottawa who would have the biggest chance to get him because they have the worst record in the NHL right now. The problem for Ottawa is they traded away their first-round pick last year in the Matt Duchene trade to Colorado.
So they don't have it.
So Colorado gets wherever Ottawa picks. So Colorado's in a playoff race, and they possibly might get the number one pick in the draft.
He's 5'10", 168.
Yes, he is short.
He's a little dude.
He's a little guy.
But he's the top guy, no questions asked.
No questions asked. He will be the first pick in the draft.
Doesn't matter his size or anything.
Does not matter.
Who do you think? Do you have any clue at all who is going to win it or whatever? Is it like the weighted system?
It's like the NBA now with the, you know, Ottawa would have the most chances with the ping pong balls, followed by right now the Kings and Detroit. But they do it like the NBA where everybody's in the hopper, and you can jump into the top three. So everybody's got a chance at that.
The Oilers have received 4 number one picks in the lottery era, although they've technically won the lottery only 3 times in 2010, 12, and 15. In 2011, the Devils won it, but the rules prevented them from moving up more than 4 spots, so they went from 8th to 4th.
That was when the rules were really dumb.
So have they fixed it?
Well, now, yeah. Like in that year, with today's rules, if the Devils would have got pulled out first, they would have went all the way to the top, which is what happened to them a couple years ago when they got Nico Hischier.
But they do it in some room that's private with just Batman and a couple of his minions, and
nobody else knows what's going on. NBA does it the same way.
But nobody watches what they're doing?
I don't know. There has to be some kind of group that
not even Bill Daley, the deputy commissioner, holds up the placards on TV, knows what's happening in this thing. They have these people that assign teams to the appropriate cards, numbers 15 through 1, and then with the assistance of Bettman and another guy, when the live broadcast begins, the floor manager knocks on the door of the sequestered room. A guy makes a 30-second walk from that room to the broadcast studio with the cards and hands them to Daley. Daley has no idea who won, neither do the team reps seated in the broadcast studio. So there you go.
We found the coach earlier you were talking about who was sweating through his shirt all the time.
Yeah.
That would be Sean Miller of Arizona.
Sean Miller is a sweater?
Yes. He's the one whose the shirt is always completely soaked. He takes the jacket off, the soaked shirt. That would be Sean Miller.
So your boy Nick Bosa, is that true? He went out to dinner with the Niners tonight?
Yeah. Looks like they're picking in the two-hole right now, right? They have the second overall pick.
So they're going to take Nick
Bosa. So they're starting to think that Arizona is going to go with Kyler Murray, right? Isn't that what everybody thinks?
Arizona says Kyler Murray. Everyone thinks he's going there, and then Bosa would go number two.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the Buccaneers hiring two female assistant coaches? Are they the first ever?
No. I mean, I think Arians has done this before. Didn't he do this when he was in Arizona?
Oh, did he have chicks?
Might be the same woman. I have no idea.
So Arian's doing it again. She has experience, this woman, in the National Arena League, in the Women's Football Alliance, and in the semi-pro and prep levels. She played 4 years of women's semi-pro football and attended Temple. Has hired Lori Locust and Maral Javadifar.
Yeah, it's not the same one from Arizona.
Making Tampa Bay the first NFL team with two female coaches on staff. They're the first full-time female coaches in Bucs franchise history. Locust is the assistant defensive line coach, and the other one is the assistant strength and conditioning coach. I know how hard it can be to get your first opportunity to coach at the highest level of pro football. Sometimes all you need is the right organization to offer you the opportunity. The Glazer family and our GM were extremely supportive of my decision. And I know there'll be great additions to my coaching staff. There you go. Bruce Arians bringing women on like crazy. And everybody's really excited about it. Mary Ellen in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, can I get a Guinness, please?
Can you get her a Guinness? Overtime in Oak City. Toronto's up 112-110 with 2 minutes left. Good game. Close game alert right there.
Cool. Hey, I was wondering, what do you think about the Old Dominion-Purdue game?
I think Purdue will win the game.
Yeah, I do too. But does Old Dominion, is there any chance?
Obviously, anyone that plays Purdue in the NCAA tournament has a great chance since they always choke.
Yeah.
So I would take, I'm going to do a Purdue on the money line to win, and I'm taking Old Dominion in the points on the spread. I think Old Dominion will be in the game. Everyone that plays Purdue has a great game. Yeah. Every time they play, the other team ends up looking like world beaters. I bet Old Dominion has a good day. They've
got a good defense, don't they?
I don't think anyone has ever watched Old Dominion play a game ever in the history of modern civilization. So, anyone that brags they know anything about Old Dominion basketball is a liar, and there's plenty of them in my business. I know absolutely nothing about them other than I've bet against them, bet on them a few times. I just see how they do, what they score, what they average, and what they do against the line, and pretty much that's how I gauge it.
Well, Old Dominion's in Norfolk, just to help you out there.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that's where the naval bases are.
Biggest naval base in the world.
There you go. Very exciting. I'm sure all the middies are going to be rooting for Old Dominion in the game. It's going to be awesome. 855 Carver High.
I'll be rooting for Old Dominion as well.
Well, you hate Purdue.
And
Jerry Palm also.
It has nothing to do with Jerry.
Well, it does, because he's another one of them, these Boilermaker people drinking their Boilermakers. 855-212-4-CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Toronto's going to win this game. They're up 121-112 with 14 seconds left in OKC. And they're just too tough. Cam in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing tonight, Pharrell? Just got a simple hockey question for you and the guys. Heard a guy up in Sportsnet Canada today say that he believes Patrice Bergeron is the best two-way player that he's ever seen, and that they should rename the Selke after him. You've watched hockey a lot longer than me. So I'm asking, how do you feel about that assessment? Is that an accurate assessment? Is he the best two-way player you've ever seen? And how do you feel about him as a player overall?
Well, I think, you know, he certainly had his grips on the Selke Trophy before, and he's a great player. There's no denying he plays both ends of the ice. I don't know about, you know, I got a hard time saying he's the greatest two-way player that's ever played the game. You know, that's just not happening for me. I'm sorry. There's just I just think there's better players than Patrice Bergeron. I think he's a, you know, I do think in this day and age, right now, when he's playing, in this era he's in now, Carver High, I would say he's the man at that business. He handles his business, two-way player. There's no one better. But I don't think, you know, I'm not willing to do that in, you know, all time. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I'm not going with the all-time stuff. Let's let the guy finish his career, and then we'll maybe stack him up with other guys who have played in the NHL throughout.
I think he's really good.
He's a great player.
He is.
Bergeron's a great player.
He's an incredible player. I don't think he's the best two-way player I've ever seen in my life.
Well, probably not. I mean, is he the best one of this, you know, past 5 to 10 years? Yeah, I think he is. When we start getting into the all-time.
How many times has he won that thing? The Selke. I mean, several. Most people think that's an Alka-Seltzer award. They don't even know what it is. The Selke. 4 times he's won it. That's crazy, right? That just lets you know he's the man. He really is an incredible player. I'll give you that. I'm not going to give you greatest of all time, though. Can't do it. Jake in Milwaukee.
Hey, Pharrell. Big question. What do you think about Wisconsin and Marquette? I know they're both 5 seeds.
I've already said, like, and I know you're probably just catching on right now. I've said I think Wisconsin's overranked in this thing. I think Ethan Happ's a really great player. I think they have decent backcourt senior, you know, leadership at that position as well. But I'm not that high on Wisconsin, to be honest with you, in the grand scheme of things. And I think they're running into a team that's a little bit hotter than they are right now. I'll give you that in Oregon. But we'll see. I think Wisconsin can play with anybody. But I don't think they're as, you know, let's say, good as they've been in the past when they've had the likes of Kaminsky and stuff. This is just, I think Ethan Happ, you know, is a really solid player. I won't deny that. But you know, I don't think he's that great. He can't hit free throws. You know, ESPN drools over Ethan Happ. They're always showing Wisconsin games on ESPN or the Deuce, right? Like, you constantly see these Big Ten teams that play on TV too much, and they're one of them. And I just don't – I think the guy's got game. One of the things about him that I've noticed is that he's, you know, a man among boys, right? Like, he just is a senior player, right, that's been there, right, and done it. He's just been there so long. He's like a man. He is a man. And they're all a bunch of little boys he's playing with, right? So he's just manhandling these kids, playing against them in their first and second year in the Big Ten. He just dominates them because they have no idea having this giant man getting ready to go to the NBA play against them.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Has anyone noticed that, Mafia? Have you noticed how much more physical and, like, manly and grown man, old man strength he has compared to some of these kids he plays with?
Yeah, you see that. There's some of these guys, when you get at school like Wisconsin, where they keep guys for 4 or 5 years, that they actually develop their bodies a little more. Yes, you have some freaks like Zion Williamson who are just jacked out of their mind at 19, but a lot of these guys aren't going to put on muscle until 20, 21, 22, 23.
But this guy's a grown man.
This guy's been there for those years. He's put on that weight. He's put on, you know, that muscle, that extra oomph that he can use to knock guys out of the way, to, you know, put that butt out there and get them out of the box.
Oh, he's huge, too.
So, you know, it helps him out when you get these guys to stick around. And they get in those programs for 4 or 5 years, lifting that weight, eating the way that they tell you to do it. You can see the size difference sometimes.
I don't think there's anyone on Oregon that can stop him, that can stop Ethan Happ. So if that guy has 25, 30 points in that game tomorrow, Wisconsin will win. Like I said before, if you hold that guy to 17 points, you can beat them. Right? I saw Indiana beat him. I couldn't even, in overtime, I almost fell over.
That's like your ultimate marker for every team. If you saw Indiana beat a team, you got no faith in them whatsoever.
That's it, because I think they suck. I mean, they could barely beat St. Francis. I covered that bet, too.
I think that Louisville can beat Michigan State if they both win their first game. And I know Louisville's had a problem since that.
I agree
since
with that.
They blew up against Duke that night. Louisville has not been the same team when they had that huge lead against Duke.
That is so true.
They have not been the same.
Oh, that is the best thing you've said in a month.
But Louisville beat Michigan State back in November, so they've already played them
that
once
is,
this
but
year.
Let's go back to what you said. When they blew that big lead against Duke, that they have never recovered from that.
Never.
That's a great point.
That's what scares me in their game coming up. That's why I kind of, you know, I was leaning a little bit on Minnesota for that game.
Right.
But then I thought about it a little more. I'm like, Louisville's better than Minnesota. They just are.
Oh, they are.
Better than them.
They are.
But what worries me is that they just haven't been the same team.
You see, they're trying to sell the Patino's coaching against, right. You know, the Louisville where his dad was.
But the committee never sets up things like that on purpose.
Oh, no.
Never. They never do that stuff.
Just
like they didn't have Arizona State if they won Bobby Hurley going to play his old team either.
Yeah,
that didn't have anything to do with it.
Except
that,
this time.
That's just coincidence.
Just except this time. Bruce in New Jersey.
Hey, Pharrell. How are you?
How you doing?
So I just want to – I heard you say you asked if Pharrell was Robert Kraft was getting off.
Right.
Was there a pun intention there?
No, there wasn't. There's nothing – you know, listen, I'm not doing any sex jokes on the air, all right? So, but he's not going to go to jail. Nothing's happening to the old man. In fact, I've said this 1,000 times. I bet he's found not guilty. He wasn't even there. The day he drove up in a Bentley, literally did a photo op with prostitutes, and they still won't get him. They got him on video actually performing the acts, and they'll still, by the time they're done, Bozo the Clown was in there getting a massage. I guarantee you he wasn't even there by the time it's over. I am firmly 100% betting on his lawyers over whoever they go up against. The Jupiter Police Department, please. What do those guys do, play dominoes? I mean, honestly, they have no chance against this guy and his money. He's going to spit him out. In fact, I wouldn't even discuss the plea deal. I'd sue them just for bringing it up. If I were Kraft with all that money he's got, he's going to win that case. That's all there is to it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Mafia, you didn't tell me what you think of TJ Dillashaw, the bantamweight champion in the UFC, having to relinquish his title. He relinquished the belt independently on his own before they took it from him because they keep saying it was an adverse finding in a drug test. In Portuguese, that means he failed his drug test.
Right, failed his drug test. New York suspended him for a year while they look into it more. I mean, he gave it up, but it was basically him just getting ahead of it, saying, oh, I'm going to give it up instead of them stripping. So it looks better for him in his eyes, I
obviously.
Guess.
Obviously.
The way I was talking to your boy Ike before about it, and what it probably is, or what we think it may be, because of it only being the 1 year suspension, and because of the last fight he had against Cejudo, where he just dropped to 125, where he's been, you know, really like a guy shredded at 135, but still looks like he loses a lot of weight for that, to then drop to 125. That is more likely, you know, possibly something like a diuretic, something to cut weight instead of a PED to get down to that 125. So that's why it's only 1 year, not the automatic two they give right away. Either way, it's not a good look for him that, you know, he loses that fight really quick. He's supposed to be, you know, the guy's going to go win two belts and win their stars, to go lose that fight really quick and then get busted afterwards is a bad look for him and kind of screws up that division now.
So Cejudo beat his ass, knocked him out.
Right.
And then he
got... was supposed to rematch. Cejudo was going to go up and try to fight for his belt and take two belts the other way, and now that fight's obviously off.
Because he can't fight now for a year.
He's suspended for a year as of right now.
How old is he?
Late 20s, early 30s. He's got time.
So, flat out, are you buying that it's a diuretic is why what he failed for? Because they didn't say.
A little older than I thought. 33 years old.
33. So he's going to be 34 the next time he fights. At
least.
Yeah,
his birthday's February, so he'll be 34 by the time the suspension is up if they keep the whole year.
And bottom line is, do you think he did drugs or not?
Obviously, they found something, and it makes complete sense that dropping down to that 125, that if it's something, they're not going to say what it is usually, but if it's something like a diuretic to cut weight, that makes complete sense because it's not a situation where you want to bulk up to have a PED, you know, steroids where you want to get jacked up because you got to cut down. So having something to aid that is what makes the most sense to me.
Rafael Dos Anjos will face Kevin Lee in a top welterweight at a UFC fight night in Rochester on May 18th. What do you think of that one?
That could be a very exciting fight. Both those guys are guys that like to just throw recklessly and try to knock the other guy out. It could be very exciting. It's not one that's going to go to the ground and guys are going to lay and pray or anything like that. That's going to have a lot of action.
Former middleweight champ Luke Rockhold to move up to light heavyweight to fight Jan Blankowicz, on International Fight Week, UFC 239 on July 6th in Las Vegas. What do you think of that fight?
That's an interesting fight. Rockhold has had trouble staying healthy the last couple of years.
Right.
He keeps getting injured every time he's going to come back, so maybe it's something to do with the weight cut, to cut down to 185, maybe going up to 205 will let him stay a little, you know, thicker, a little stronger, and maybe that'll keep him from getting these injuries and being out all this time.
Carver High.
What's the over-under on all these fights you just brought up actually happening? How many of them actually?
5%.
What'd you list, three or four fights there?
Three or four fights, so 5% of them will make it.
Under.
You'll take the under. Wonderboy Thompson against Pettis. Who do you like there? That's this weekend.
That is this weekend. I like Wonderboy because he's got the little bit, the extra length, the way his style of fighting where he has that karate style. It keeps him back more like Lyoto Machida used to do. I think that gives him that extra edge to make Pettis have to come to him and do a much better job counteracting because Pettis isn't what he used to be.
The Fox pay-per-view broadcast of Errol Spence's win over Mikey Garcia pulled in well over 300,000 buys. The final number is expected to surpass 350,000 and climb toward 400,000. Massive success for two guys making their pay-per-view debut, evidence of the Fox promo machine at work. You think that number is good? Let's say it's 350,000 buys to that fight. You think that's good?
I think it's a good start for those guys. I mean, we talked about how these are two guys who are incredible boxers but aren't well enough known because they only promote Canelo, they only promote Mayweather, they only promote certain guys. So these guys making that pay-per-view debut, Fox making its pay-per-view debut, I think that's a good number for them. It's much better than when Broner fought Pacquiao, right?
Listen, are you seeing this Broner story?
I saw it. I watched the video, too.
He threatened to kill gay people in a video he posted on Instagram. And he said, quote, "If I ain't got my gun on me, I'm knocking you the Pharrell out," end quote.
"And if I have my gun, I'll shoot you in the face." That's what he said.
Broner responded calling his post a PSA and saying, "If any Pharrellin punk ass N-bomb come run up on me trying to touch me and all that gay shack, I'm letting you know right now, if I ain't got my gun on me, I'm knocking you the Pharrell out. If I got my gun on me, I'm shooting you in the Pharrellin face. And that's on God and them. I'm not playing with none of these N-bombs. I don't like gay shack diesel." I mean, are you kidding me, this guy?
If they're not going to lock this guy up for all the stuff he's done previously, can we at least just run him out of boxing at this point and get rid of him because he's just trash? He's a terrible human being, doesn't win fights, not worth us even knowing his name. Please, get rid of him.
In 2018, he was accused of kissing a woman against her will. He was arrested and charged with felony gross sexual imposition and abduction. And that case is still pending. What a mess. And then how funny is it they just keep giving this guy television events? They just keep giving him fights. He loses all the fights, too, and then says they're all fixed. All the fights he loses are fixed. What a joke-ass this dude is, Broner. What an idiot. Paul in Calgary, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I'm just wondering about our goalie situation here. Who do you think we should go with the playoffs? It's Smith or Riddick. Both of them outstanding all season. I'm picking Smith because of his puck handling. Well, what are you thinking, Scott?
Carver High, who do you like there? Is he talking about the Flames goalies?
Yeah, honestly, it's their biggest weakness. It's the thing that I think is going to be a major issue for them when they get in the playoffs. That's why I kind of put them fifth out of the five teams that I kind of put by themselves.
So they're a first-place team with all those points, but you don't believe in them because you think their goalies are posers?
No, they're going to win the first round because if they win the division, they're going to play in Arizona or play a Minnesota or one of those teams, and they'll beat that team. But if they play, when they get to San Jose or Vegas, Nashville, Winnipeg, I don't believe that their goaltending is good enough to allow them to win a round against those teams.
Right.
Whether it be Mike Smith or whoever else they want to put in there.
All right.
Just not good enough.
So did you see the lines on these? There you go. Did you see the lines on the Duke game and the Buffalo game?
I did not. Can you? What do we got?
The Duke game is 27.5 on North Dakota State.
I'll lay it.
And Arizona State is getting 6.5 from Buffalo.
I'll lay it with Buffalo, too.
You'll lay with Buffalo, too. So.
I really wish that Buffalo wasn't playing, if they win this game, of course, wasn't going to get matched up with Texas Tech in the second round. Because I have Texas Tech going to the Final Four. We've talked about them all year, about how they seem to be a very...
So they got to play, if they win that game, they got to play Texas Tech.
Right,
winner of Texas Tech,
right.
Northern Kentucky.
Right, so, and that's a that's a fun second round matchup, Buffalo and Texas Tech. I just wish they were playing somebody else, because I like this Texas Tech team. I think that they're I know that they lost to West Virginia last week. I get it. I'm glad they did. It's
Are
the
you
one
disappointed
out of the
in the fans tonight as I am? I'm going to throw out a disappointment.
I agree with you 1,000%. I already know where you're going.
Where do you think I'm going?
I mean, we're here now. I mean,
we're sitting here getting ready.
We've hit Thursday in the East Coast. It is now
game day.
You know, it's Thursday. It is
12 hours they tip off.
Real day at a tournament. Forget these play-in games and all that stuff.
Real on these streets.
We got to feel the 64 now. And we're what? Less than 12 hours away from tip-off?
On these streets.
Get that Louisville-Minnesota game tipping off at what, like 12:10, 12:15?
Tip it off, son.
We're almost there.
I mean, it's on.
There's so many games to talk about tomorrow.
Where are the fans?
And people just aren't there.
Where are they?
You think they're not ready.
I mean, I know you're all up like snapping tubes and watching porno, but you need to grab the phone and call Uncle Futrelli because it's time for action on NCAA tournament games. Let's talk about all of the Thursday and Friday games. Now, I've done these on PharrellOnTheBench.com. I've done them on Pharrell on the Bets. Is that right, Mafia? I've done all of the picks now. What, tomorrow, tomorrow I do Thursday and Friday plays on the Pharrell on the Bets.
Yeah, you already covered Thursday very briefly yesterday, but on today's show. But tomorrow you come out with
all
Thursday and all Friday quickly.
And then that's tomorrow's show, which is Thursday.
Correct.
And then on Friday I'll do it again for Friday.
Correct.
Because people, you know,
and
might
we'll get
miss
into Saturday's action.
Miss the show, and then some of Saturday's plays. So any game at all that you want to know about, the time is now to call and talk about these matchups. I've got all of the games right here that start tomorrow, and I mean every single one of them. What'd you say the very first game is of the day?
Minnesota and Louisville.
Let me just go onto this schedule here so I can do this.
Followed up 20 minutes later by Yale and LSU.
So you have it all in sync and in
order. I have them all in time order here.
Are you an NSYNC fan, Carver High?
No, I am not.
All right, so it's Minnesota, Louisville, then Yale, LSU at 12:40, and then 1:30, New Mexico State, Auburn, 2 o'clock, Vermont, Florida State, 2:45, Bradley and Michigan State. You can't make this stuff up. Bradley taking on Michigan State. Belmont and Maryland at 3:10. Northeastern and Kansas at 4. Murray State and Marquette. It gets really interesting at 4:30 East. Florida and Nevada at 6:50 in the evening. Abilene Christian and Kentucky at 7:10. St. Mary's and Nova at 7:20. Fairleigh Dickinson and Gonzaga at 7:27, allegedly. Montana and Michigan at 9:20, right before we go on the air. And then literally right before we go on the air, Seton Hall, Wofford, Old Dominion, Purdue. And then while we're on the air, getting ready to launch at 10, Baylor and Syracuse. Those are all the games.
Now, we know that this can be hit or miss because this, you know, you don't know when. You know some of these games aren't going to be great, even though they look great on paper. I honestly think on paper we have three of the better games of the day at night. While we're on tomorrow night, being the Seton Hall Wofford game, the Syracuse Baylor game,
and Old Dominion Purdue.
And I think because Old Dominion is
what
live.
About Montana Michigan, a little taste.
How about the committee, a rematch of last year? Same two teams played in the first round.
Montana and Michigan.
Montana and Michigan in the same seeds, a 2:15 game. That is so bizarre that they did that 2 years in a row.
Think Michigan will handle them in the 15 spot?
I think they covered by like a point last year. I think that last year they were laying around the same thing, like 13, 14 points, and they covered by a point.
Ooh.
But it's 15 now tomorrow.
15.
Maybe taking the Grizz. Michigan hasn't looked great.
Oh, wait a minute here.
Maybe take the wood here.
Wait a minute. Where is the sheet of integrity on a Wednesday night that I was promised?
I have
it. All of a sudden, Mafia, where is the sheet of integrity?
I have the sheet.
This ain't no zany radio bit.
I have the sheets completed.
Where is the sheet of integrity? Are you going to bust this out in the Blue Lagoon hour?
I've got it in front of me.
Here we go.
Whenever you want to get it going.
I say we get it going now. Why wait? Let's start now. I still got a minute and a half here. So give me in order. Let's do these games.
Sure.
These are Carver High's sheet of integrity
picks. You want to do the East?
I want to do it all.
All right, really quick. In the East, Duke, UCF, Mississippi State, VaTech, Belmont, LSU.
Wait, you're just going way too fast for me. I smoked dope in my youth.
I only had
slow.
A minute and a half
okay,
left
start,
here.
Okay, start. All right, so Duke, UCF, Mississippi State. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, Vatek, St. Louis. Who do you like there?
I like Vatek.
And then Maryland, Belmont.
Belmont, I'm going.
LSU, Yale.
LSU.
Louisville, Minnesota.
Louisville.
Michigan State, Bradley.
Michigan State.
All right, what other one are you going to do now?
We could do the West.
All right, go ahead.
I like Gonzaga.
Right.
Baylor.
Oh, Baylor over to Cuse.
That's right.
So you're going against all of your friends here and colleagues.
I can't stand them.
God bless you for that.
I like Murray State to beat Marquette.
Whoa.
Me and everybody else, but I do like
them. Sheet of integrity.
Florida State.
Yes.
Buffalo.
Yes.
Texas Tech.
Yes.
Nevada.
Yes.
And Michigan.
Yes. I'm with you on all those.
And I like Texas Tech to come out of that region as my final four.
All right, let's go to the South.
The South, I got Virginia.
Yeah.
Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah.
UC Irvine.
Whoa.
Villanova.
Yeah.
Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Tennessee.
Yeah. And then Midwest.
In the Midwest, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Utah State.
Yeah.
Auburn.
Yeah.
Northeastern.
Yeah. Whoa. Auburn and then Northeastern.
That's right.
You're going with the boys from Boston?
Let's go. The Colonial Winners taking down
You're taking them
Kansas.
Over Kansas. All right, go ahead.
Iowa then, State.
Yeah.
Houston.
Yeah.
Seton Hall.
Yeah.
And Kentucky.
Wow.
First round sheet of integrity.
So how does the sheet of integrity progress to week two and everything?
Yeah, I have it all the way to the end.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. 855-212-4227. Mafia also very busy with PharrellOnTheBench.com and Pharrell on the Bets. Don't forget episode 177 drops tomorrow morning at 6:30 Eastern on iTunes and Google Play and on WestwoodOnePodcast.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.